Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Proposals to require voters to show photo identification when they come to their local polling places are nothing new in North Carolina. A few years back, state lawmakers included a voter ID requirement in a multifaceted election law, what many critics called a voter suppression law, that federal courts ultimately struck down for unlawfully targeting African American voters with, quote, surgical precision, unquote. Now, unfortunately, the idea is back, this time in the form of a proposed state constitutional amendment the Republican leaders say they want to place before voters on the November ballot. Tomas Lopez is not enthusiastic about the plan. The executive director of Democracy North Carolina thinks the idea would be a disaster for North Carolina elections, and especially for poor, older, and minority voters who frequently lack a photo ID. Lopez joined me by phone earlier this week from his Durham office.
Well, Tomas Lopez of Democracy North Carolina, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're in the business of protecting people's right to vote, and there's a big challenge to that that's now percolating at the North Carolina General Assembly. State lawmakers are advancing a proposal to actually amend the state constitution, which would be sort of unprecedented, to enact a rather vague new proposal on voter ID, photo ID for people who want to vote. Can you tell us about it and why you might have some concerns?
Sure. The first thing to know is that this proposal that is currently in the legislature has a chance to appear in the November ballot if it passes 3/5 of the General Assembly, and that the governor would not have the chance to veto this. Once they hit that necessary figure, it'll appear on voters' November ballot. What the proposal says is that it will require a photo identification for anyone to vote. But at the same time, it provides no information as to what kind of photo identification would qualify, whether there are any exceptions, and it doesn't give the state any responsibility for providing people an ID for those who can't afford to get one.
Yeah, we should say this is a little different. In the past, the General Assembly tried this with a voter ID proposal as part of its 2013, sure, sometimes referred to as the Monster Voting Law. It was a law that had a whole long list of restrictions on voting and new requirements. The federal courts ultimately struck that whole thing down as targeting African-American voters with what it called surgical precision, that is, discriminating against them. This is a little different. This isn't just a statute. It's an actual amendment to the Constitution.
That's right. That difference between a statute and an amendment is a really important one for people to understand, because what happens with a statute is that it's easier to change. You just need a majority of the votes in the legislature to change it, or you have a wide array of ways to change it if you need to challenge it in court. By putting in the Constitution, this becomes the law by which other more detailed ID laws are going to be judged. And our great concern is that it is so broad, it is so vague, and yet it says photo identification, and it says shall use photo identification, that it sets a really high bar that really no other state has right now.
Another issue that certainly arises is that voter fraud is something that we continue to see reports that debunk the notion that there is much voter fraud. But the area that you would presume there would be more voter fraud would be in absentee mail-in ballots. This actually only targets people who are already coming in and signing on the dotted line and saying that they are who they are when they come in to vote in person. But people who would vote via absentee aren't affected, right?
Right. What we know about this is that this is about photo ID at the polls. And you mentioned the last time the legislature did this. The last time the legislature did this, the Fourth Circuit came out and they said they targeted African Americans with, again, almost surgical precision. And what that actually meant in practice was that the court found the people who authored that law looked at the IDs that were most commonly held by black voters and took those out from the list of things that would be included. And that is the best basis we have for what an ID law that comes from this would be, because this is so vague that the General Assembly is going to have to come back and say, okay, now we have to tell you what photo ID means.
Assuming they do something along those lines, again, it's sort of like reading tea leaves and trying to predict what would actually happen if this actually became a constitutional amendment. What are some of the concerns you have? We know that there are a lot of eligible voters who don't have photo ID. Talk to us about that issue.
Well, we know that there are lots of voters, and they pretend to be African Americans, that they tend to be poor, that they tend to be older people, and they tend to be students, who do not have the particular kinds of identification that strict photo ID laws often require. So just here, then again, we've had this experience in North Carolina. And to give you the example of students, you were not able to use a student ID in this state the last time we had a photo ID law. We have stories of individuals who do not have the kind of ID. Our allies have lifted up the story of a young man in the Raleigh area who has severe cerebral palsy and is someone who insists, though, on caring deeply about his right to vote, exercising it in person. But because of all the challenges that he faces, he didn't have the kind of ID that was required under that law. These are people who are eligible voters. These are not people that are trying to steal votes. These are not people that are trying to game the system in some way.
Well, and we also, of course, know that there are lots of folks who, you know, are just in the lower income levels of society who struggle to just get places. I mean, one of the things that the proponents of this bill say, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody will be provided a free ID if they need one. The amendment, does the amendment say that?
The amendment says nothing about that. All the amendment says is that photo ID will be required for anybody who goes to vote.
Let's say this goes into effect and you are a low-income person in a rural county in North Carolina who, you know, is just doesn't drive anymore, is retired, lives on a farm. What would you do if, let's say, you don't have a driver's license? It raises real questions in terms of just getting to the appropriate place to get one, how that would be accomplished. That's all just sort of unstated in this legislation.
That's exactly right. You know, in our view, General Assembly is basically putting forward a blank check with this amendment and asking voters to sign it. And what we know based on their track record on this issue and other issues, where they've consistently tried to extend and retain their power, that they don't deserve that blank check.
Where do things stand? We know that this constitutional amendment is being proposed at the General Assembly. Any indication at all as to how it might move forward and when? We know the legislature's presumably not here for an extended period this summer, but based on past experience, they've been known to pass legislation pretty rapidly.
The General Assembly doesn't have me on speed dial, so I can't speak exactly to what their plans are, but I think what we expect is that they're moving this forward and that when they do, we'll be ready to fight it, and that we're continuing to urge people to, while this is still in the legislature, to call their lawmakers. And even if your lawmaker is somebody who might already oppose ID, that you feel like they're already good on this issue, they need to hear from you too, because they need to know that not just, because one of the things that some folks are saying was, well, you know, this is polling in a certain way and this is going to pass necessarily. And folks need to hear, in particular, elected officials need to hear that voters oppose this.
It seems to me you would expect with a constitutional amendment that state lawmakers might actually have some hearings on the matter, hear from people, maybe even go around the state and collect information on the issue. But at this point, we have no indication that that's part of the plan for how the General Assembly will proceed. They haven't reached out, to your knowledge, to anybody to say, okay, let's hear from the public. Let's hear what they have to say about this.
None from my knowledge. And in that respect, it's quite consistent with the practice of the legislative leadership, which has been to set aside process purely for putting things forward without much transparency.
So if it does pass the General Assembly this summer, we're looking at a campaign over the coming months. I take it Democracy North Carolina will be making this a top issue along with other civil rights and civil liberties groups in the months ahead to fight any kind of a ballot initiative for November.
That's absolutely right.
We really appreciate you taking some time to discuss this issue with us, to bring us up to date. It's a very important fight. We wish you all the best in your efforts, and we look forward to checking in with you again soon to see how it's going.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Up next, a special two-part interview with the longtime chairman of the North Carolina State Board of Education. Stay with us.